Huh? Is it okay? Put your hand. If you've been with us for a while, you normally see Katie on Facebook. She, on our iPad, she five FaceTimes in has been part of our home church here for 2 years. So Katie is just new back home, and she just graduated. So can I share about your program a little
bit?
Yeah. So Katie was in a program over at a few hours away from here, for a program for adults with disabilities, and to teach them to be independent. And so we, for 2 years, she's been immersed in this. And I was, years ago, somebody asked me this morning where I heard about it. It was years ago. Oh, was he doing that? And I was one of those kind of guys like, well, that's great, but I'm not sending my daughter there. And you know why? Because I know how to take care of her. Right? There's not a dad around that knows how to take care of her like I do. And so there's no possible way I'm going to let her, you have her. And but as time goes on, you're trying to, you know, we're all growing up. Dad too. And you realize that this is a great moment for both of us to like for you to like run and fly and be on your own. And so when we went to this program 2 years ago, so it was a lengthy process of interviews and like them accepting us just as much as we accepted them, huh?
Yeah.
And so I remember a couple years ago taking her there and being a total mess. Right? I'm the messed up blubbering dad in the car, like kind of like what a, terrified. I'm afraid. I think you were afraid.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing?
What am I doing here? People like Mark and Sherry drove over and saw Katie.
Yeah.
And but you're thinking this was a bad move, right?
And, what am I doing?
But yeah, and but God took that away, right? He took away the terror,
yeah.
And he took away the being scared.
Yeah.
And over the next couple of years, he totally connected you with friends and really gave you a family over there.
Yeah.
But there were some observations I had I just wanted to share with you, because it's a program, and so their goal is to, you know, teach into some what I would call pillars, right? So one of those pillars was what I call personal wellness, which was taking care of yourself, learning how to be healthy. And healthy is a heart and a mind and a body, right? And so they began to surround you with teaching and people and staff to like pour into your personal wellness. The other pillar I saw there was what I call personal connection, right? And so they realized Katie's not going to be alone. She's going to be making friends and interacting with people she doesn't know. And so part of personal connections is relationship skills. How do you navigate relationships, right? And how do you do this in a way that's safe, right? How do I make sure that this relationship is, we've got boundaries, we've got kind of like things that protect us. Part of being safe in personal connections is just being safe on the streets, right? So personal connection. And the other one I would say is personal growth. Now, Katie, I tell people when I brag about you and I say, let me tell you about Katie, because she looks night and day different, 180 degrees different from the Katie I dropped off 2 years ago. In a way that maybe you don't see as much as Dad sees.
Mm-hmm.
That, in fact, there, she had a dinner on Friday night, or Thursday night, and Katie gave a speech before probably 200 people.
Woo-hoo.
And 2 years ago, Katie, not only no, right? Right? And And so I remember asking her when she told me this was going to happen, and she, I said, "How are you doing?" She goes, "I'm terrified, but I can do it." And so one of the things I would say in this thing about personal growth is they tell people they learn to advocate. And so let me explain advocate. It's really finding your voice. I know who I am, and here's what I need, right? Because the opposite of that is a victim, right? Yeah. You're just kind of being beaten up by every whim and person and event in your life, and you don't feel like you have any recourse, okay? So I want to tell you, there are three things. There's personal wellness. Who am I, right? Personal connection, right? And personal growth. And I thought, wow, Katie, that's a picture of the gospel.
It is.
Because, you know, why Jesus came, you know, we don't know who we are. We're confused about our value, our worth. And we make, generally, and when you're in that condition, you make bad decisions. Right? So this thing about personal wellness, body, mind, and soul, we stink at it because we're manipulated and deceived by the enemy. We literally don't know any better. And so Jesus comes and he says, wow, I'm going to open your eyes to, so you know who you are.
Right.
You wake up to your identity. The second thing he says is, now that you've woken up to who you are, Katie, he goes, now I need you to step into connection with people. Now, here's the choice. That old culture, that one that lied to you about who you were, lied to you about those relationships too. And so Jesus says, I need you to connect differently with these people, right? So now you're taking this strength of who you are, and now you're learning how to have strong heaven, kingdom, Jesus connections with people. And third, you know what the assignment he gives each of us? It's a pretty ridiculous assignment, right? When he tells you to go change the planet, this personal power, personal growth, Jesus gives you an assignment to go heal the sick, open up the blind eyes, raise the dead. I thought, look at that. Those are the three pieces of why Jesus came. And so just knowing that, one, I'm very proud of you. And so it's totally awesome what's happened. But now, just before all of these people here, Katie, I would just like to bless you today, right, as a daddy. And just acknowledging what Jesus came to show us, you're walking in right now, right? So I just want to just say, you're amazing. And so I bless your personal wellness today, your body and your mind and your spirit, that your body is healed of any pains or infirmities in your body, even things that are hidden from us today, he's healing this morning, right? And any torment or struggles in your mind, I see you just declare over your mind today, your mind is well. And your spirit is perfectly connected with his spirit. You hear well. You see well.
Right.
You are one with him. So I bless your body, your mind, and your soul today. And in your relationships and your connections with people, you're not a victim. Right? So you're powerful and strong. And so I bless you in your relationships with the people in this church, with the people on the street, and that to be found job, we bless those people in your life and realize that you're a leader in those relationships. And then I bless your power because you're a powerful woman. And the Holy Spirit, the power of heaven is inside of you. The kingdom of heaven, all resource for every need in your life is inside of you. You have answers for people's problems, right? You have the love that they need. And so we just see you releasing kingdom everywhere you go. So I bless your power. I bless your authority. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And oh, by the way, we have a cake for later.
Yay!
To celebrate graduation.
Creation.
So.
Now you talked about how you failed when you dropped off.
Same.
You dropped your daughter in the middle of nowhere.
And how do you feel now about it?
I was thinking the one thing when he started talking and he said, so she was immersed in this school and their culture and everything that they did for 2 years. And as he was saying, you know, those three things, and that's like a picture of the gospel. This is what God does in us. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, it's the same declaration that as you immerse yourself in his presence, and in your relationship with him, and you are just constantly, like as you do that, those things will be built in you. If anything is feeling like, well, I don't have that part, or this seems to be missing, nope, the answer is you just immerse yourself in him and pursue that connection, that relationship, and knowing who he is, and those things are going to be added and filled in and just built upon you.
Yeah,
it's that easy. It's that simple, maybe not necessarily easy, and it takes time sometimes.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's so
right.
Worth it.
Right. You know, it's so simple. Like this morning, just this sense of presence, this hit releasing love in the room, and you know, what was your word you were talking about? It feels like we're getting wrapped up. Was that what you said, Adolf? It's like we're being wrapped up in his love.
Yeah.
And you know, so if we approach all of this, if we approach kingdom or our connection with Jesus as an appendage to our life, it's hard because we're trying to like live everything like we just said we have struggled with and then add a little Jesus to it. But really, it's about getting immersed in him.
Right.
Where we literally get kind of taken over. Like, he love wins. Love consumes our mind. Love consumes our heart. Love, we literally rewire ourselves into thinking differently. We've been, let's see how this goes. So, you know, we've been hanging out. You've been hanging out with me and my thoughts on John chapter 3, actually. Right? Sometimes I get like multi-parts of messages, and we might have some history lessons or a little theology here and there and lots of points. And now it's been like a soaking session of, God, what are you trying to say? What are you showing? And we've been enjoying this. You know, we kind of like honed in on, we're getting to John 3:16. We sort of got there last week, I guess. This powerful verse that we all know, and we're trying to like, God, am I seeing it right? Am I understanding what you're trying to say? Because I feel like he's sharing something fresh with us. And we're learning to like rediscover love in a way maybe we didn't understand before. And so we began to take this journey with Nicodemus, right? Because my personal opinion, when Nicodemus comes and he opens up this chapter of John 3, and he really comes with this inquisitive heart of, my words, there must be more. Maybe you've been there before in your walk with the Lord, where you come to that statement of, there has to be more, right? That's been my journey, right? You've been in a church all your life for me. You did all the stuff. You did all the classes. You went to, if the church doors were open, you were there. And then you kind of step into leadership activities and you serve in different capacities, lots of capacities. And then you go off to take classes and Bible college, and you kind of like, you've got all these things layered on top of you and you're convinced, I got it. And then you have an encounter like today's worship and you're like, do I? It's like, there's so much more. And so you get to this place where I remember hearing a testimony of John Wimber from the Vineyard where he makes this statement. He goes, God, when do we get to do this stuff?
Right.
Because John Wimber's reading about the testimonies in the Bible about raising the dead, about opening blind eyes, and he says, when does that happen? And so you're left with this wanting, this longing, that there has to be more.
Yeah.
And the quick answer I was taught was, I get that when I go to heaven. And I thought, okay, and that's a quick answer, but it's like, this certainly exposes more than that. It's like, yes, there's more there, but it also, Jesus, when he came and said the kingdom of God is here now, and he gave us these assignments, and you realize, God, I'm missing something. And so like Nicodemus coming and saying, you know, Jesus, we see the miracles, and I can't reconcile that, because I think Nicodemus is so attracted to it. He's in love with this. He sees the compassion and the power coming from Jesus. He says, we know you're from God. I can't make sense of that with all I know is I'm doing all the stuff I was told to do, right? As a leader in culture and community in the church, it's like, God, there's more. And Jesus, and this is just a way of kind of like summarizing the last couple of weeks, says, here, this is a revelation that you're never going to grasp unless you see it in spirit, right? That this is something that only spirit can reveal to you. And then we start to realize, like we talked about those pillars with Katie, this waking up to, here's who you are. Like, once I begin to see a glimpse of who I am in this story, right, and who, what he says about me, my identity, all of a sudden it creates this avenue for me to connect with him as Father, right? And now my journey is learning how to close this gap. And by the way, that gap exists in my mind, not his, right? So we looked at this kind of like the, maybe the whys of John 3:16, like if we're honing in on this, why does he say it this way? Why does he describe love this way? And then we got into the, you know, I'd like to say, you know, why did he do this? He's, I'm lost and I don't know it, right? I'm lost and I don't know it. We sort of talked about that a couple of weeks ago, right? I'm lost and I don't know it. You know, that can happen in life. Like until all of a sudden you get a glimpse of what's true and you're like, oh, I have no idea that this, that existed. So I'm lost and I don't know it. But here's a fact of being lost in this world. When fear and deceit and manipulation are the things that are working on you, you get hurt. Right? Because of your lostness, you get hurt. Right? And so you get hurt in your heart. You get physically hurt. We know the enemy is about destroying you physically. Right, and so we learn one of the reasons of the whys of Jesus. Why this gift of Jesus? And we talked about it last week. We honed in on it's like this total gift of bringing healing to you. Right, he came to heal you. Maybe I'll just say from your lostness or the impact of being lost. He came to heal you, and that's a total healing. It is a body and a mind. It's healing your spirit, right? So he's healing you. So then I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm starting to grasp the little connection of the whys and a little bit more of the whats, right? But there's lots more questions, aren't there? There's layers here. And so it's like, okay, God, how? Right? And so as I just looked at that verse again, and maybe I would encourage you, right? Because it's such, you know, do you ever have verses like John 3:16? They're so familiar,
right,
that you don't consider them. Maybe I said that wrong, but they're so familiar that you overlook them. They're so familiar, you go, oh yeah, I got that. So just maybe as a homework assignment, I would just ask you, let's just ask Holy Spirit to refresh you in Scripture. And on this one right here, for God so loved the world, right? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Just let's just ask Holy Spirit to breathe fresh on that. And maybe this week, as you're driving to work, as you're going to bed, or in your quiet time, or whatever that looks like for you, let's say, God, show me something here that's fresh, right? So one of the things as I'm hanging out with that verse this week, and I'm asking this question about the how does he do this, I was impressed by right, this thought about it being for the world. Because one of the things, one of the dangers, or one of my errors of growing up was that somehow this was for a certain group, only a select kind of, and whether or not you want to, well, I'll just quickly say, we alienate his love from lots of people, whether it's because of their religion, or their lifestyle, or their other culture. We kind of created this Western civilization practice that says this is for us. And Scripture doesn't say that. I love how it says it. The word it uses for world is cosmos, and it literally, in this context, is the entire planet, right? God's, this love that God has is absolutely for everybody, right? It is 100% for everybody, right? Now, once you start to get that, okay, everybody, by the way, those are headbenders, because there's a lot of people on your list that you go, no way, right? You have disqualified them. There's no way God could love, fill in the blank, right? So then you realize, wait a second, this head knowledge thing isn't working for them. And I would say one of the greatest revelations were coming, and it's what Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about, is you're going to have to get out of that, I understand this, because it logically makes sense. You're going to have to get out of this problem of being a head follower of Christ. I love Paul, and he's talking to the church in Ephesus. He has this, when he's praying, he's basically closing with a prayer to the church, the local church. And by the way, it looks like this. There's a community of believers that are seen and heard of the witness of the activity of heaven, and they're trying to get their heads around it, and they've known their traditions, their religious traditions, and they're trying to work through it, just like you. Like, wow, there's got to be more. It doesn't look like what I learned all the time at synagogue. There's, right? So Paul's talking to them, the church in Ephesus, and he prays this in the middle of his prayer. It's in Ephesians 3:19. He says that you would know the love of Christ. Okay, that's what we're talking about. How much does he love? That you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Which passes knowledge. Right? So Paul already knows you're going to have a hiccup with understanding this love of Christ. And just I was asking about the Lord about that, you know, this understanding that this love is something I can't comprehend. Understanding that it's for everybody. No, by the way, as I'm thinking about this for everybody thought, right? There's a verse in 1 John chapter 2. It says this, that he himself is the propitiation for our sins, right? And not for ours only, but also for the whole world, right? But I thought, have you ever read the Mirror Bible? Some of you have. Mm-hmm. By a South African man and his team, Francois Dutoit. And I thought, this word about propitiation for our sins, right? We've been learning that perhaps my view of God isn't the same one that God shares, right? That sometimes, in fact, what did we talk about Father Rohr when he says that God didn't come, I'll read it to you, because I thought it was kind of fun, Jesus didn't come to change the mind of God about humanity.
Right.
Jesus came to change the mind of humanity about God.
Right.
We've got some pretty bad pictures of God that don't look at all like Jesus, right? And so this thought of God's, you know, he's not angry with you. He's actually trying to wake you up and help you see who you are, right? And in that activity of waking up to who you are, the wrong culture that's impacting you, to make choices of stepping out of that culture, what we called the matrix, Dave, right, last week? Stepping out of the matrix and into this kingdom culture. right? But I love this, how 1 John talks about he himself was the propitiation for our sins. But can I read it to you out of the Mirror Bible? 1 John 2:2 says this, Jesus is our atonement. I'm going to read it differently because he emphasizes it separately. He says, Jesus is our at-one-ment. Jesus is our at-one-ment. He has conciliated us to himself. He's taken our sins and distortions out of the equation. What he has accomplished is not to be seen as something that belongs to us exclusively. This same at-one-ment includes the entire cosmos. I love how Francois writes about that. This of reconciling us to this call to be that we're one in him. And everything that when Jesus talks about his love, it's all what I would call a heart language. We're learning to step out of, God, I don't get it here. And we realize that this knowing, this is what he's saying to Nicodemus, this knowing about this great love, this knowing about how to escape the matrix, how to get out of this culture that's controlling you and step into you through your true identity into who what it looks like to live as a son and a daughter of the king, right? And so we learn that it's like this whole thing is about a heart revelation. In fact, Romans says that it's with the heart we believe, right? So if you're trying to logically understand salvation and Jesus and the cross, it says don't even try, because it's really through his spirit revealing to you, it's through your heart that you're going to wake up to what he's saying to us. So here's just a thought, right? God so loved the world, the whole world. How much does the Father love Jesus? You don't have to answer, unless you have an answer. But how much does the Father love Jesus? Chew on that thought just for a second. Because I'm not sure I could get an adjective to describe it. Right? How much does the Father love Jesus? Right? I not only can't I get a word, I'm not sure it can be quantified. Right? Because they've always been one. Right? They've always been one. So it's like inseparable. It can't be disconnected, right? So how much does he love it? And then here's the second thought. If God loved Jesus that way, which a way we can't understand or describe, and it says he loved you so much, he gave him to you, how much does he love you? Not only do I say sometimes we disqualify people from being the recipients of that love, I think it's one of the harshest people we are is on ourselves. And we disqualify ourselves from this love, right? We conclude, I'm not good enough to be loved that way. Or there's all these voices in our head that would cause you to separate yourself from receiving, being connected, being open to, being good at whatever for that love, right? And I would just like to say there can't be any difference between, scripture tells us, there is no difference between how much the Father loves you and how much he loves Jesus. Look, I tell you this all the time, one of my most favorite sections of the scripture when I'm, for me it's the heart of the entire gospel. If I'm ever trying to like sort through the keys for all scripture, I go to John, right? And there's a section in John before Jesus goes to the cross where he's with his disciples. It's that upper room event where he's washing their feet. And they're like you. They're having this conversation with themselves. They have a taste of who he is. They have questions about who they are. They're maybe a little further along the road than those around them. But scripture also makes it clear that when Jesus went to the cross, they were terrified. They were very afraid. They weren't like these powerful, it wasn't until we saw in Acts when the Holy Spirit came and fell on them that there was, you might say there was all of a sudden their spirits are like connected with his spirit, right? That that sense of authority and power and agreement is released, right? But listen, when Jesus is in that upper room and he's praying with them, he's having this time with them and he's praying to the Father on their behalf, right? He says this, as the Father loved me, I have loved you. And he tells them, abide in that love, abide in my love. I would just like to say to you, it's like, what, regardless of conflict, regardless of your history, regardless of your story, that is probably the most powerful right statement that I just want you to hook into. I want you to put it, make it, bury it in your foundation. It's something you anchor onto. That Jesus is wanting you to know that just as much as the Father loves him, he loves you, right? And he tells you to just stay in that place. Just rest in it. And we could preach on abiding for a long time about this soaking. It's kind of what worship was this morning, just abiding in that love. He goes on in a couple chapters later, and he says this. He says, as he's praying to the Father, I'm in them, and you're in me, that they may be made perfect in love. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, can you see this? It's like he's pulling you into that love bubble. It's like we're starting to learn about just living in that saturation of him. Right? That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world would know that you sent me, and that you have loved them as you have loved me. This is Jesus praying to the Father.
What verse is that?
That was John chapter 17, verse 23, right? So Holy Spirit is waking us up. We're starting to lose this lie that says, I'm not good enough, or I've got some things to do here. He wants you to do that. That separation exists in this thing that we call our mind. We're learning to rewire our understanding of who we are. We are waking up to the value of our identity in him, right? Sin has put this mask on us. It's literally cloaked our ability, blinded us to seeing our value. That we don't see ourselves as his sons. We don't have anything inside of us that sees us as possible to be connected with him like that, to be loved like that, right? So here's just a quick conclusion. Jesus and the Father both love you. And however many billions are on the planet, I don't know. But you're in that. You're in that cosmos. And he loves us all that way.
Wow.
Right? Inseparable. And just remember, we looked at Ephesians 3:19 that says that, that you would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, right? The Holy Spirit, God, help me know that love, right? But the verse doesn't end there. It says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Just another wild thought for your meditations. What does it look like to be filled with the fullness of God? Pause a moment. How full is God? How about that? How full is God? I mean, you probably have a lot of fun with me to fill up that list, and we would, and you know, we wouldn't even be putting a scratch in it, right? How full is God? And the prayer is that we would be filled with that fullness, right? I think as we start to see that, here's how much he loves me. Here's the, so much so that he has this, all this to pour into me, to give me, right? I realize it's like this whole thing is about he and I doing life together. I'm giving you this fullness so you and I would go do, I'm in you and you're in me, that we go do life together powerfully, right? That's why Jesus stepped into my matrix of fear and confusion and broken identity. And it wasn't some, by the way, cosmic legal requirement. Right? He did it so I would be healed of my lostness He did it to reveal to me the depth of that love. He did it to show me the fullness of that love, right? He did it to invite me into that same circle that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit occupy, that we call the Godhead. He invited you into that place of relationship in the Trinity. He invited you into that relationship. He says this later in John. Remember when Jesus is praying before the disciples, he says, Father, I desire, John 17:24, I desire that they also who you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory you've given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Right? He's wanting, and so some of our tradition, some of our instruction from life says, those are that fullness of being with him in the Godhead is, some of us have punted that and said, well, that's something we get when we get to heaven, right? That's true. That don't excuse the absolute truth that Jesus says, that fullness, that what he calls everlasting life, right? What he calls kingdom is here now. So the invitation is that you would experience the fullness of that life now, right? Not just when we get to heaven. Peter talks about us partaking of the divine nature, and we can teach on that another time, but God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but would have everlasting life, that fullness of life. We'll teach on that some more, but just a quick wrap-up thought, because I'm watching my clock. I told you couple weeks ago, remember we looked at that word perishing, right? And I talked to you and said, look, that word perishing, it's a word that speaks of being lost, right? It's that same word that we use for, is used here, that you would not perish, is, let me give you two sides of a coin. It does mean to be broken. It does mean to be destroyed, okay? But it's deeper than that, because when we start to see how Jesus uses that understanding of being destroyed or broken or separated, he goes and uses that same language to talk about the shepherd who lost the one sheep and went on a search for that one that was left. The woman who lost the coin, and my favorite, the prodigal son, the son who returned. They used the thing, my sheep was lost, perishing. My coin was lost, but now I found it. The coin was perishing. My son was lost, perishing, but now I found him, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this deep understanding of God, right, rescuing you from your lostness. And oh, by the way, I told you that lostness, we hurt ourselves. In our lostness, we break things. We break ourselves, right? In our lostness, we absolutely get hurt, right? And because remember when James and John, I know I'm rambling, but when James and John say, hey, God, Jesus, we should call on fire on them. Remember that? Was it the Samaritans' mom? And James and John are praying, they called out fire on and Jesus says, stop. He says, I didn't come to destroy.
Right.
I didn't come to perish them. Right. I came to save them. Right. So hopefully we've tried to make it clear over time. Satan's single game plan is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's the breaker. He's the disconnector.
Right, right, right.
He's the one who's caught, is releasing this fear matrix, right? That's the one we're trapped. Mm. Sin has trapped us into thinking, that's the system I live in,
mm-hmm.
right? Matrix, my Morpheus quote for Dave for the Matrix, as he says, this is the world that's been pulled over your eyes.
Right.
The Matrix, right? But sometimes I was thinking about this thought of, you ever heard of the Stockholm Syndrome? Anybody mm-hmm. heard of the Stockholm Syndrome?
No.
Right, you're captured,
right.
you're taken hostage, or you've been terrorized, you've got these abusers or accusers, the ones assaulting you,
right.
And the Stockholm syndrome, we find the victims find themselves identifying with their captors. They find them, it's a peculiar thought that they have a sympathy for them.
Right.
They begin to start to agree with them. And I was thinking about this fear matrix, that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
You've been taken captive. No fault of your own. This is our world. We've been taken captive, and something in our spirit begins to accept that as normal.
Right.
These pains, I deserve this pain, or it's not so bad, or whatever that argument is, that we accept the terror that's thrust upon us. We accept the bondage that we're held in, and we start to go, and we start to make excuses for it. Or maybe we don't do much to get out of it because we go, what can be done? Mm-hmm. Right? Just a thought that perhaps the conversation with Nicodemus and Jesus is this, you're so trapped in this system that's been pulled over your eyes, you don't have eyes to see that you're trapped and you're a victim. And he says, so by my spirit, I want you to see what it looks like to break from the matrix. And he begins to say, and then he says, and how do we do that? We wake up to who we are. Here's what I say of you. And then you begin to reconcile. We begin to see this ministry of reconciliation, of like our acceptance in him. Right? And from that place,
right,
he calls us to live.
Right.
Right? Not a wasted life, but an eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Not one that's a victim, right, of terror. Right? Not one that's lost or has the brokenness of being lost, but one that lives. So we'll pick up from there. So let's just say, Father, we just want to say, thanks for loving us so much this morning. We just, your presence was here. You healed our spirit. You healed our mind. I thank God that you're waking us up. And I just declare lies are breaking off of our minds. That kingdom truth and kingdom morality are breaking in and they're winning. And so we declare our spirits are one with you. God, we declare we are one with you. We're in alignment with you. And so now, Holy Spirit, we pray for a release of your power. God, come, increase our hope, increase our joy. God, as we step into our assignment of just bringing kingdom, God, and our assignment of being reconcilers, our assignment of showing your love in all places, in all situations. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen.
Amen.